It looks like you're going to see the sales of tobacco products to anyone under 21 be banned. You know, right now you got the piecemeal program. Different counties and towns have done it. A lot of this has come about because of e-cigarettes. But it looks like this is going to pass and happen, and it will be a nationwide thing. We're going to get into that in just a second. Fargo City Commissioner Dave Pepcorn joins us in studio at 3:05 City Commission meeting last night. They are going to talk a little bit more about what to do when it comes to snow removal and fines on the Fargo City streets. And I believe they're going to have some public, I don't know if they're going to do public input on this or not, but Commissioner John Strand wants it to be looked in a little bit more, and that's the raising of the traffic fines in the city of Fargo. This is going to turn into a lawsuit, just like it did back in 2007. I'm all for raising traffic fines. We've discussed it on this program. I think that it should be done at a state level. You had attorney Mark Freeze on this program a couple weeks back. Mark Freeze of Vogel Law Firm. He was behind the lawsuit in 2007. What was it? I think the payout was City of Fargo. I believe West Fargo, too, was involved in it, or maybe it was just Fargo. But it was $1.5 million had to be paid back to folks because they were the fines were over what the state was setting as fines. And that doesn't include all the attorney fees and everything else that was involved in that case. And I find out today when I was told a couple weeks back that, no, West Fargo has not raised their traffic fines. I find out today that, yes, West Fargo did raise their traffic fines. So you have Grand Forks, you have Bismarck, and you have West Fargo that has raised traffic fines. And now you've got Fargo trying to decide to do it, too. And I'm telling you right now, this is going to end up in court, and these cities are going to lose, and they're going to have to pay these fines back. And it is going to be on the back of the taxpayers. We'll get into that with Commissioner Pepcorn coming up and take your phone calls on that as well. All right, numbers 293-9000, toll-free, 1-888-970-9329. Email talkwdy.com. Also, there's a new scam going around. I haven't read it in the news. I haven't seen it on the news. I know about the scam because I got the call this morning. And it was one of those calls where you don't know the number, but I had a bunch of calls out for other topics. So I'm like, I better answer this just in case. Answer it. And it is a scam. This is a new one. We'll get into that a little bit later on. It'll be interesting to see if anybody else received this scam call. And Kyle, I'll tell you, this one is pretty good. And if you are somebody, because these scams, they really target the elderly. And I'm not picking on the elderly, but the elderly seem to fall for these scams more than younger people do. And this one, I can see this one nailing a lot of people. And this one involves your Social Security number. Anyway, we'll get into it later on. All right. So here's the question I have for you. Because it seems like we have government entities, whether it's on a federal, state, local level, they like to put laws into effect, and then they like to carve things out and piecemeal stuff together. And here's the question I have for you. I'd love to get your input on it. See where you stand on it. My question is this. How would you feel about setting the legal age in this country, the legal age, you're legally an adult, moving it from 18 years old to 21 years old across the board? And I'm asking this question because, well, it seems that we are doing all these carve-outs now when it comes to a person being legally 18 years old. You know, you can do this when you're 18 years old, but you can't do this. You can do this, but you can't do this. And it's just there's a carve out here, there's a carve out there. And it seems like there are more and more restrictions being put on somebody that turns 18 years old. Now, when I grew up 18 years old, that was it. You were legal. I mean, it was, you know, tobacco products, It wasn't 18 for drinking. I think it was 19. I was 19 when I turned 18 years old. But I'm sitting here thinking maybe it's just time to go down that road. So my question to you, how would you feel about setting the legal age in this country, legal adult age, instead of piecemealing it together or carving little exceptions out, just say, look, in the United States of America, it is 21 years old, 293,900, and I would be for it. And I'll tell you why in a second. The story out today, sales of tobacco products to anyone under 21 would be banned under a year-end congressional spending bill. They say it's likely going to pass this week. The measure would include cigarettes and e-cigarettes, has bipartisan support. It was introduced back in May by Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. That's a Republican out of Kentucky, and Senator Tim Kaine, Dem out of Virginia. President Donald Trump told reporters he supported an increase in the tobacco buying age to 21 from the current 18. Of course, public health advocates, they praised the move. They still stress much more actions needed to reverse youth vaping surge that's going on in this country. The Tobacco 21 measure, as it's called, it's partly designed to reduce teens' ability to get e-cigarettes from older friends or acquaintances. Trump said in September that the Food and Drug Administration planned to take off the market any e-cigarettes that were not designed to taste like tobacco. Under fire from vape shop owners and conservative groups, he backed away from the plan last month and has yet to announce a substitute. The year-end congressional spending bill does not include other health priorities, such as a measure to address surprise medical bills that consumers incur when they unknowingly use doctors outside their insurance network, and steps to curb higher prescription drug prices, which I ran into yesterday with antibiotics and about fell off my chair at the prescription shop when I was told how much these antibiotics were going to cost and why they cost that much. And that's something Congress has been fighting over for months now. But this whole 21 years old carve-outs, 18 years old. So at 18 years old in this country, what can you do now? You're considered a legal adult. Now, at 18 years old, I believe you still have to register with Selective Service or for Selective Service for the military, although you know that hasn't been used in you know how many years, but still. You're 18 years old, you're an adult. You need to register. So you still do that. 18 years old, you can vote. 18 years old, you can go fight for your country. And do I think 18 years old, I don't think anybody should be smoking. It is very bad for you. Believe me, I know I've been smoking for years. But at 18 years old, you can't make that decision on your own anymore. That's not up to you. The government has decided you can do this and do this at 18 as a legal adult. But even though you're a legal adult, you can't make this decision. You cannot have tobacco products if this passes. You cannot have a adult beverage until you're 21 years old. See what I'm saying? There are carve-outs here. And maybe it's time that the government looks at saying, okay, instead of doing all these different age, let's just make it 21 years old. And that would mean you don't vote till you're 20. Well, what else at 20? I believe at 18 years old, you cannot own a handgun. You can have a long rifle, but you can't have a handgun. I believe that's federal law at 18 years old, if I'm not mistaken. You see where I'm going with this? It's a little bit here, a little bit here. You're a legal adult, but you can't do this, you can't do that. And now you got the tobacco thing. We're going to tell you, you know what? You're going to be 21 years old if you want to purchase any type of tobacco product, including e-cigarettes.
I find it interesting that 18 is the magical number.
I don't know where that came from. I don't know how long it's been 18 years
because
old. I don't know why. I got to believe a lot of it had to do with, I'm guessing, Kyle and listeners, if you go back years, I got to believe a lot of it had to do with Selective Service and drafting and fighting in the middle. I got to believe that's where it came from.
Yeah, I mean, 18 to me is young.
It is to me, too. It is. I'm with you.
I wouldn't mind saying that you aren't a legal adult until you're 21.
Yeah, I'm, you know, Kyle,
because really,
I'm on board with it.
Because 18 years old, I look back at myself at 18, and I had no clue.
Oh, dude, I look back at myself when I was in my early 20s.
Oh, yeah, even 21. But, I mean, 18. They're high. I was 18 in high school.
Yeah, I was 17 when I graduated. I graduated just before I turned 18 years old. But if you look at this, you see where I'm going. It just we're picking and choosing here. Why don't we just say okay in this country at 21? You know, that might be even young, but still 18 years old. You know, that to me seems pretty young to be making the decision to go into the military. All right, we'll take a break, come back. Your phone calls, your emails, 293-9000, toll-free 1-888-970-9329. Sales of tobacco products to anyone under 21 would be banned under a year-end congressional spending bill, and they're saying this is likely going to pass. It's got bipartisan support. So in other words, in the United States, you will no longer be able to purchase tobacco or e-cigarettes until you are 21 years of age, which I, at the end of the day, I don't have a problem with it. But I don't like this niching out this and this. You're a legal adult, but nope, not for this. So I want to know how you would feel about going to just say, okay, you know what? We're moving everything to 21 years old. Give me the pros. Give me the cons. Tell me what you see. Because I don't see anything wrong here or a problem here other than you're going to lose a voting base for a few years. That's really it. But how many of those young people really go out at 18 years old and are voting? 293-9000, toll-free 1-888-970-9329. This is the Jay Thomas Show. Okay, I got a ton of emails and text messages coming in. Phone calls, the phone lines are open, 293-9000. Toll-free 1-888-970-9329. We'll get to the emails here in a little bit. Love to get your phone calls. Want to know how would you feel about the United States going back to 21 years old as the legal age in this country. Right now it's 18. The reason I bring it up is it looks like this bill is going to pass and the sales of tobacco products to anyone under 21 would be banned. It's got bipartisan support, and I question these carve-outs and these piecemeal. You know, you can go fight for this country at 18 years old. You're considered a legal adult in this country at 18 years old. You're free of your parents at 18 years old. But yet, we don't want you to have a handgun. We don't want you to have tobacco. We don't want you to drink. And I have no problem saying, okay, 21 years old. That's it. That's the age for tobacco use. But why don't we just make this across the board? And I want to know if you think it's a good idea. Maybe it's something that should be looked at. Or do you see some real problems saying, hey, look, 21 years old to be a legal adult, that's going to cause some problems. Jay, did you think about this? Did you think about that? 293-9000 is the phone number. All right, and I'll get to the calls in a second. So I looked up some information here as to why it's 21 or 18 in this country. And what I found was before the passage of the 26th Amendment in 1971, 21 was the minimum voting age in most states. And then it goes on to say that thus served as the age of adulthood in most areas of law. Congress lowered the nationwide voting age to 18 as a response to unrest and passionate debate about the Vietnam War. Many felt that those who were old enough to be drafted into the armed forces should also be able to vote and be considered an adult in this country. When it comes to the drinking age, hold on here. I'm digging through this stuff. Hang on, callers. I'll get to you in a second here. The reason the drinking age was raised was because studies and research had shown that young folks, teenagers, were shown to be responsible for a lot of drunk driving accidents when the 26th Amendment lowered the age of majority. That's what they call it, the age of majority. Many states experimented in the 70s with a drinking age below 21. They changed their minds quickly accident statistics in those states showed a huge jump in the number of drunk driving accidents involving 18 to 20 years old, 20 year olds. So that's why they changed that. But I'm saying, look, why don't you just make it 21 in this country and call it a day? Hey, Pete Fargo, Jay Thomas Show.
Hey, Jay, this is one of the few times I disagree with you.
Oh, that's fine. That's what makes it fun, man.
And the reason I think everything should be 18. If you can go serve your country, if you can, you know, you're out of high school, you should be an adult. And partly why I think that is right now, I feel like we have a lot of people that aren't growed up yet at 30.
Well, you're not off the mark
there.
And
they're being coddled.
They are being coddled.
If everybody's an adult, you can choose to drink, you can choose to own a handgun, you can choose to all of that at 18, but you're going to be held responsible for your actions every time.
Yep.
We'll have bigger adults, you might say, I think.
And here's why I say, why not just go to 21? Because they are constantly, and I'm with you, if you can fight for your country at 18 years old, go put your life on the line, can be drafted, although we haven't, you know, people have been drafted in years. If you're old enough where the government can call you to do that, then you should also be able to make that decision to go ahead and use tobacco products or use alcohol products. At 18 years old, you can vote. That's a big responsibility. At 18 years old, you are considered on your own. You're not your parents' responsibility anymore. But we all know, of course, we're responsible for our parents for the rest of their lives, pretty much. But the reason I'm going with this, Pete, is because they keep cranking up all the things. Or they keep cranking up a lot of things that you could do as an adult at 18. They're taking that away. So why not?
And I don't think they should.
And they are. So if you're going to do that, if you're going to say, hey, look, go ahead, go vote, go ahead, go out and fight for your country. But you know what? You better not have a tobacco product or we're going to punish you for that. Yeah, you're a legal adult, but we just don't think you're legal enough to make that decision. But we think you're legal enough to make the decision to go serve your country. You see what I'm saying? They're taking all that away. Yeah. So why not just say, okay, they make it 21 years old.
But the other reason is logistically our military would be decimated if they couldn't take 18-year-olds. I know a lot of people that were, you know, from high school that weren't very responsible.
Yep.
And they either got told they had to go in the military or they realized they needed structure and they went into the military and they came back out fantastic adults.
Oh, no, I agree with you.
I see it nowadays, too, you know. And I just think everything needs to go to 18 and we need to hold people accountable and responsible.
Okay. Let's talk military. What if we said, okay, because your concern is it's going to Troy, you're going to be next. It's going to decimate the military. What if then we said, okay, you know what? At 18 years old, you can still join the military. At 18 years old, you're still going to sign up for selective service. But if you do join the military at 18 years old, you know what? Then you can go ahead and use tobacco products or have a drink.
That's just another carve out.
It is. You see what I'm saying?
Freedom is freedom.
Yeah,
and that's my point. Is freedom should be freedom. And, you know.
Yeah, you're right. You see what I'm saying? See, now you're carving that out. So we're going to this 21. So, you know what? Maybe the government needs to look at that because you're saying, look, 18 years old. You know what? 18 years old. Boom. You got the freedom. But now we're going to take these freedoms away. And maybe the government needs to understand that, hey, look, you need to quit taking these. You need to make the decision. Either it's 18 or it's 21 years old. But if you're going to go 21 years old, remember what that effect is going to have on the military. I just don't like this. I don't like this. You know, we're going to pick and choose. Either you're an adult at 18 legally or you're not an adult at 18. Either it's 18 or it's 21 years old. Which the hell one is it? Figure it out and go down that road. Pete, appreciate the phone call. Let's see. Troy, can you hang on?
Yes.
Okay, I promise I'll take you first when we come back. Hold on, Troy. Jim, can you hang on?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, hang on. I'll get you guys when I come back on the other side. All right, Kyle, we got our guest at 2:35. We'll bump her to 2:45. I'll call her and let her know. All right, and I got all these emails coming in, too. Hang on, callers and emails. We're coming back to you right after News and Weather, Jay Thomas Show. This traffic fine deal in North Dakota, this is going to be a disaster, Kyle, financially. I am not a lawyer, but I've read up on this enough and have talked to people in the know enough to know that I can guarantee you that Fargo, well, Fargo hasn't done it yet, but they're looking at it. Dave Pepcorn will join us 305. Hang on, Troy and Jim, I'm coming to you. Now, if West Fargo went ahead and they did raise their fines back in September, although some on the city council don't remember doing it. Grand Forks, Bismarck, they've all done this. And I'm telling you right now, these cities are going to end up in a lawsuit. They are going to lose, and they're going to end up having them. And I'm all for higher fines, traffic fines. They're going to end up paying this back, and it's going to be at the cost of the taxpayers again. Last time around, it was $1.5 million in that lawsuit, plus attorney fees. Ay, ay, ay. All right, we're talking about the age of 21 as a legal adult in this country. Troy, you're up on a Jay Thomas Show.
Yes, how you doing, Jay?
Hey, doing good, Troy.
Good, good. I was just calling. I agree with you that the federal government should make up their mind and either make it either 18 or 21, but I don't believe it should be 21, just due to the fact that a minor cannot enter into a legal contract. That would be 3 years of sitting around under your parents because you wouldn't even be able to sign a lease for an apartment or get a loan for a house or a car, marriage. None of that would be able to do, not go in the military, none of it.
All right, see, and this is why I'm bringing this up, because it's stuff that I didn't think of, maybe other people didn't think of, why 21 isn't. And the reason I bring up, again, 21 is because we're carving all this stuff out and saying, you know, now, and I don't want anybody any age smoking, but to say, okay, now at 21, that's when you can have tobacco in this country, but you're a legal adult at 18 years old. It's like, come on, man.
Yep, no, I agree with that. Yeah, it seems like it's just the alcohol, tobacco, and the firearms is the only aspect that they want to raise it. So,
yeah, well, now
I think it should be 18.
All right, hey, Troy, appreciate the phone call. Glad you're listening in Fargo. Let's go over to the Minnesota side and hook up with Jim. Jim in Fergus Falls, Jay Thomas Show.
Hi, Jay. Hey, I agree with you at the 21 thing, and I think the only carve-out should be 18 for military. And the argument, let me make my point here. The argument as far as if you can join the military that you're old enough to fight for your country, you can do everything else. Well, when the military recruits you, they don't recruit these brilliant decision-making adults. They turn them into the brilliant decision-making adults.
Wow, that's true.
And that's the difference. I think back to 18 years old, and I knew everything, but I was a complete idiot.
We all were. Yep. Yeah, we all were.
Right.
No, you know, you make a good point at the 18. You're right. I mean, you go into the military, and you are military trained. You are coming out even, you know, a year later, 6 months, however long, boot camp, you're coming out a completely different person with a whole different mindset and skill set. So let me ask you this thing, the whole carving out thing. So you join the military, you come out as a different person, trained differently after your boot camp and your other training. Should there be a carve out then that says, you know what, at 18 years old, if you're in the United States military, you've been trained to be a soldier, you've been given a different mindset. If you've got that military ID at 18, you can go ahead and use tobacco and alcohol products.
Well, I don't think another carve-out's going to help anything. You don't want too many. I think a line should be a line. But at 18, if you go in, you get a military ID, it doesn't mean you're an adult yet. You're learning, and you're still growing, and you're maturing. And that's what they're doing. When you're in for 4 years, these guys come out, and girls, they come out so polite and so respectful. And it's just a changed person from the when they went in at 18 years old. Oh. You know, a lot of these 18-year-olds, they don't respect anything. They don't respect authority. But, boy, those guys in the military, they change you.
They do. I know. They changed our boys. That's for not saying we had bad boys. But it did change them a lot when they got out of boot camp and their training. They were different boys, that's for sure. Hey, good points. Appreciate that, Jim. Let's see. 2:45. Let me get caught up on emails. Then we're going to take a break. And I got a guest coming up here at a program for about 10 minutes or so before Commissioner Pepcorn gets in here on this whole traffic fine thing and snow removal. Jay, when 18 was established, folks were also getting married at 15. Times have changed. Make it 21. But that should apply to voting as well. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you're going 21, then you're going 21 across the board. If you're going 18, you're going 18 across the board. P.S., nice job to Kyle at the Tundra Winter Games. Yeah, Kyle, you had a CrossFit competition over the weekend, and your team did well. What, second place?
Second place, yeah.
That's very cool, dude. Very, very cool. Congrats to you and your team. How dare you, Jay, assume my age? I identify as a 21-year-old. Okay, I'll give it to you.
How dare you?
I know what you're looking for. Let's see, another one. Jay, have you heard anything about the gun control crap the Dems are trying to do in Virginia? We're not on that. I'll read that later on off the air. Jay, so if the legal age goes to 21 across the board, what does that mean for those young men and women who would like to join the service? What do they do for 3 years prior? Many join the service not only to serve their country, but also to help with college. Just wondering. Well, that's the thing you got to look at. If you go 21, 21's 21. 18's 18. But the government seems to keep wanting to take away things at 18 years old, even though you are considered a legal adult. Another one, Jay, make 21 the legal age of adults would mean there would be a whole lot of statutory rapists. That's a whole lot of crazy. All right. Let's see. Another one. Jay, experts have said that the part of the brain of judges' risk isn't fully developed until age 25. This is why infantry grunts are younger. Let's see. Here's another one. Just imagine with all the guys paying child support until 18, and they're on their last year. Then they change it to 21 and have 3 more years of support, or with multiple children, the additional 3 years could add up fast. A horrible idea. Well, those are all things that you'd have to look at as a lawmaker, okay? Do people get grandfathered in? How does that work? But they're just continue to not piecemeal, but carve out, you know, what really 18 years old is. And at some point, I think you got to sit down as the government go, okay, what is the legal age? Jay, I think it should be 18 as far as military service, but I think maybe make it 19 as far as drinking and smoking, so at least you're out of high school. Okay, and let's see, another one. It's so pathetic that the only solution to the ills of our society is to pass a law or give a pill. I'm with you on that one, too. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think making the smoking age, the tobacco age 21, is going to change a whole lot when it comes to how many people are smoking, at 18 years old or using. I just don't think it's going to change. It's going to change, but I don't think it's going to make a big, massive difference. Let's see. Am I caught up on anything? One more. I'd vote 20 or 21 until adulthood, but how could parents control 18, 19-year-old young adults? They already have a problem with it in some cases. All right, 248. When we come back, grocery stores are dying in North Dakota. Got a gal that's going to join us, and her group's come up with some ideas to save these things. We're going to hit that next, Jay Thomas Show. Okay, I'm done with that one. All right, let's welcome to the program. I believe it's her first time ever on the Jay Thomas Show. Her name is Lori Sapu. Did I say that right, Lori?
You did.
I can't believe it. Because your name's not, her last name is not spelled anything close to how you pronounce it. And I know when we had this topic about a month or so back, I was way off on the name. I think I was calling you Capooch. I believe that's what I was calling. Lori's the Rural Development Director at the North Dakota Association of Rural Electric Cooperatives. And how did you guys get involved with working and figuring out what to do with our rural grocery stores, Lori?
Well, we do focus on quality of life in rural places, mm-hmm. and it just kind of bubbled up as a topic. We were getting phone calls from grocery stores, and of course we're concerned about having those services in rural places that keep people living comfortably in rural places because our business model depends on people living there too.
Lori, when you started testifying at the legislature early in 2019, I believe there were 104 rural grocery stores in North Dakota. Now we're down to 97, and I believe that number is going to keep shrinking unless folks can figure out what to do to hang on to these small town grocery stores. And I know one gentleman that is a member of the initiative, Fred Wrangler. He owns three grocery stores here in North Dakota. He's got the one out in Castleton. He's out in Tolna and, was it McVille?
McVille,
yeah. He says, we're just trying to come up with ideas to get the consumers to support the local businesses. Is that the problem? I got to believe the problem is rural North Dakota is shrinking, which is a damn shame. And you have online sales. People buy a lot online. And people are going to the bigger cities and buying their groceries.
Right. So I think it starts with rural people. Many of them don't make as high of incomes as mm-hmm. urban people. and our stores are higher priced than urban places, so they're more apt to drive for their product. Our stores also can't secure the full variety that the urban places are stocking, so if you have to drive for one thing, you're probably going to get all of your things when you drive drive for it. But, it, you know, it's volume-based, so our stores can't get the wholesale price that our urban places are getting. It's a system that's designed for masses and for urban places.
Is there anything that you folks are looking at where something could be done, kind of like an Amazon? You know what I'm saying? Where you can buy in bulk, and these smaller stores and can buy from that hub.
Right. So we are trying to think like our competitors, because that's who we are competing with. So the easiest way I can describe it is like if we can purchase like Dollar General, because Dollar General purchases all of their products collectively for a larger volume and a much lower price. So
sure.
If we can help communities purchase collectively for a higher volume, we should get a better price. And if we can distribute like Amazon, because Amazon partnered with existing distribution companies that are already traveling those same roads. So instead of just carrying one product, they're carrying several products. And there's some transportation companies that we could partner with that perhaps could bring our costs down.
These Dollar General stores are pop. They fall out of the sky like snow. These things are everywhere. And I know when they come into rural areas, if there is a rural mom and pop outfit in that town or in that area, these Dollar Generals basically wipe them out. And it's because of their pricing.
Yeah, so they are offering a lower price, and when they come in, they dilute the market one more time. So our customer base is always already really small. We can't tolerate that competition. When they come in, they decrease the store's volume by 10 to 30% within the first year. Sometimes the store could pop back from that, but it might require a change in how they operate. But it is a difficult business proposition.
I can't imagine living in a town where you'd have to run, you know, 20, 30 miles to, you know, get your groceries. You know, we're so used to in the urban areas like where we live here in Fargo, where you just jump in the car, in some cases walk down the road and grab your essentials. And it's just not like that in a lot of rural areas as these stores start drying up.
Yeah, we're really worried about what that effect will be on the small towns. So if you already own your home there and you have to drive 30 miles, like that's your current reality. So you're going to do that to get your groceries. But when it comes time to sell your home, we're not sure you're going to be attracting families with children to move into that community. And how do you keep the schools populated? How do you keep employees for those businesses? We feel like food access is one of those core things that you really have to have available.
Are state lawmakers getting involved? Are they paying attention to this? I don't know how involved we'd want the state in this, but I don't know what the state could do, but are they looking at this?
They are looking at it. So they've had, we introduced a bill to ask the state to study its role in the distribution and transportation of food to rural places, and that study bill was passed. They've held two hearings on it. We have another one coming up on January 15th. So they've been hearing input from rural people. So far, we haven't really gotten to the solution part of it. Our Rural Grocery Task Force is working on a list to bring to them of things that we feel could potentially help. And you had mentioned online purchasing, and I think that's part of it. If we could help our rural retail sector, probably in general, get online. It's too expensive for a single store to own and operate that system by itself, but maybe we can do that collectively.
Sure. This is something I'll have to, when we got more time, I'd like to get you back on the program down the road to talk more about this, because again, it's a growing problem, and it's not just a North Dakota problem, right, Lori? I mean, you guys have done research and found that, I mean, this is happening around the country in rural areas, not just a North Dakota problem.
And especially through the central part of the United States. That's where we have the more sparsely populated states, and that's where we're feeling the effect first of the retail concentration.
All right. Well, Lori, we'll keep an eye on this, and I just wanted to kind of get the word out to folks that, hey, you know, there's this is being looked at. If you listeners out there in rural Minnesota, rural North Dakota, and you're concerned about what's going on when it comes to groceries or these, you know, these small mom and pop outfits and sell, you know, the staples going away, it is being looked at. The Rural Development Director, Lori Sapua, North Dakota Association of Rural Electric Cooperatives, thanks for the time this afternoon. And we'll definitely get you on in the future and talk more about this. Maybe get some suggestions from the listeners, ideas that they may come up with when it comes to, hey, what to do to keep these rural grocery stores surviving. Lori, thanks for the time.
Thank you. That would be great.
Thanks. You got it, Lori. All right, WDAY time coming up on 3 o'clock. Oh, that firecracker, Diamond Dave Pepcorn, Fargo City Commissioner. We're going to have fun with him next on the Jay Thomas Show. Should have watched that damn Bush concert when they were over at the fairgrounds.
When was that?
That was it this summer or the summer before? I know.
Was not this last summer.
That was the summer before. Son Ty went. I remember I could hear him out in the backyard because, you know, the fairgrounds not too far from. I remember Son Ty just going, oh, Dad, it was amazing. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I've been to one show at the Red River Valley Fair.
Yeah.
And
what? And we're waiting for Dave Pepcorn. He's in the building. Stacy from television has got a hold of him. So
there's nothing against the Red River Valley Fair. They run a good ship over there. But I don't like going to shows there.
Fair?
I just don't.
Fair?
I should sit up in the stands instead of being on the ground.
In the mud pit.
Well, I mean, you were down on the track. Yeah, I mean, I didn't like that at all.
Who did you see?
I saw Shinedown.
Oh, okay. All right. I've been to, let's see, I saw Dokken. I think it was Dokken and Slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
Sounded fantastic, but I was with you. I stayed for probably, I don't know. I didn't make it all the way through Dokken because, like, this is just it just wasn't fun. Yeah. And then went with Alex, her and I went to see Brothers Osborne and their song, I can't think of the song, it was a huge hit.
They did like a 40-minute medley
of one
song. Yeah, it was like
40 minutes long. It's like, guys, you've drugged the song out long enough, come on.
Their one hit.
And and everybody's like, okay, we've had enough. The song, come on. You know, Ted Nugent can pull off, you know, 15, 20 minutes. Inagata DeVita, yeah, you know, Iron Butterfly, yeah. Brothers Osborne. No, you ain't doing it, man. You ain't pulling it off.
I don't know what it is, Jay. I think I might just be getting older.
Oh, my God.
I still love going to concerts late at night, but I really appreciate having, like, a seat to sit in.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. When I was younger, Dave, we made pouring about Fargo City Commissioners with us. When I was younger, loved going to concerts. Get on the floor, get as close up front as you can get. Just have a good time. I'm with you now. I need to be sitting, and I don't want to be up front.
I like having my beer in my hand and sitting in a chair and... Or even like, even if it's at a venue where there are chairs and you can stand up during the show, down. At least you kind of have your personal bubble that is your chair and
blue
the space
stem.
In front of it.
Blue stem.
So, yeah.
Exactly. Love blue stem, especially if you're sitting up on the, would that be considered the GA area where they've got the
bench seating?
The bench seating?
No, really, the GA would be the lawn areas on both sides.
I like
that's
the bench seating.
The bench seating is really great.
Because like you said, you
can get
up. Cheaper
tickets and you get a seat.
You get up, you can move around easily if you're down in the seats, which is nice down there too, but it's just not the same. I can't remember. There was another concert I saw at the fairgrounds. I can't remember. I'm with you. And it's nothing against the fair. It's too party atmosphere for me.
And the way they set up their beer sales, like you have to go buy tickets to get the beer and a different, so you have to go through.
No.
Two different lines just to get your beer.
Got to get coupons.
Coupons. Got to get coupons. Someday you'll be able to get coupons at a Bison football game and get a beer.
Maybe next year.
That'd be nice.
Really? Because I know they're testing it at the basketball games, right?
It's $300,000 for the Dome and $300,000 for NDSU, so that's a lot of money.
$300,000 what, for the license?
No, for each year. We've looked at it in the past.
Oh, that's how much revenue you bring in.
Profit.
Oh, wow. Man. Let me ask you something. That's not what we brought David
probably
for.
Probably be
but
more at a Bison game if you did it at a Bison game.
Imagine. And we could do it. So, but it's the president, and I think they've been waiting. But now, I mean, money is tight, and so I would predict it's coming in the near future.
Now, would the city commission have to vote on that, or is that completely up to the college?
Yep, it's the president of the university's call.
I just don't think it would be a bad thing. And I go back to... You have beer at the Red Hawks games, and the argument you get from folks, Dave, and you're Mr. NDSU. I mean, you know stuff. wow, you got these people out there tailgating all morning long, and they're going to come in and drink more. A lot of these people, they're just going to go into the game and have beers. They're not going to be out. They're not going to be out there tailgating. They're not going to be out there slamming. Oh, my God, we're going to slam some drinks because it's game time. We can't have a beer inside.
I think what we're hoping for, it would reduce that right before the game starts. There's a lot of heavy consumption because people are thinking, I got 3 hours, and that would maybe moderate that out. So I think that would be a good thing.
Yeah, I think it would. All right, concerts at the fairgrounds. Which ones have you done?
Oh, Dwight Yoakam.
You did Dwight?
I don't know if that would
be awesome. He'd be great. Yeah, he's good.
Oh, it's such a great deal because it used to be where you'd pay one fee for all those concerts, and it was, but like you said, it's along along the stage, that is a college party atmosphere. And now people are be like, come on, man, you're too tall. Get out of our way.
Yeah.
We can't see.
Dave is the last person you want in front of you at a concert, especially if you're in a standing area. I mean, I'm a tall guy, but I'm not Dave tall, man. It's like, come on, dude. Really?
I have to tell you one good one. So we were the tailgate lot last Saturday. There was like four trailers in the whole thing. And so we have a full complement of Fargo police and Dome staff. All they were doing was doing a circle around our trailer. So
was it that dead at tailgating last week?
It was six below.
And so what? Come on, man. What are these diehard Bison fans? My ass.
But this
gotta
Saturday.
Suit up and have some fun.
This Saturday, it's going to be nuts.
36 degrees. It'll be packed. And people will be having shorts on and suntan lotion. And only in Fargo.
I'll tell you, Dan Beecher is going to be on the program this afternoon. He owns the Magic Bus. A great guy. He's going to join us at 4:40 because he wants to get the word out to get out their tailgate. But they're going all out. I guess they do this every year at the Magic Bus. They do a full-on wild game feed.
Wow.
And this year on the wild game feed, you ready for this? Full-on, full-size alligator. Throwing an alligator out there, and they're cooking up an alligator.
So for some people, that's their passion, the food for tailgating. That's the highlight of the way more than and it's awesome.
But it's cool because when you go there, I mean, everybody, even if you don't know them, they're like, hey, come on in, grab a bite to eat. You know, everybody's so friendly and willing to give food. And,
and it's free, and it's going to be sold out. And there'll be the other thing is, so the opposing team, they walk by, come on in, have something to drink, have something to eat. So that's part of the fun.
Yeah, we get the team down there, and they get them drunk. No, I'm kidding. No, it's going to be great. And what is it, 7:30 tailgating this week, right? Because the game's at 1.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's early.
So it's 7:30.
That's ridiculous.
Are you going to be down there?
For the whole thing? Of course I will. Come on.
You're the man, buddy. Hey, Dave, so, all right. Where are we at? I had Ben Dow on last week. The phones went crazy. This is a hot topic. What is Fargo going to do? What do you want to see Fargo do? Why is it getting put off so long when it comes to saying, okay, you keep your damn vehicles out here, you're getting a fine. Where are we at here in Fargo?
So, first of all, Ben Dowell's awesome.
He's a great guy.
And the other thing is we can copy other cities that already have good systems. So that's good. The other thing I said last night is if it isn't working, we can make modifications.
Yeah, you said, we're not changing the Constitution here.
Right. And so we'll make changes. But actually driving here was a good example. All these small roads around here are like cattle trails. And it's because it's North Dakota. We don't have a lot of melting. So if you don't move that snow right away, it sticks, and it sticks for a long time. And so all we're trying to do is they can do it way faster if there aren't a bunch of cars on the street. And so I think if we have – it's only going to be done, the mayor will say, if it's a 6-inch snowfall that night, then you can't park. That's it. And so that allows the street crews to move a lot faster and get it done. But it's around here, it's a good example because seriously, it's all bumpy and
look at the last storm we had, Dave. A week later, these cars haven't moved. They're snowbirds, and for these plow drivers, it's a flipping nightmare.
Yeah, and we have so many miles to cover, and when you have to start swerving around all these cars, and they make these huge piles around these cars, and so anyway, we'll figure it out. And the other thing is, people that have strong feelings are going to get a chance to talk, but we'll be able to make changes as the thing goes on. But you recall the last couple when we have a winter where there's lots of snow and we don't have any melting, the roads get narrower.
Remember last year?
And that's not safe for multiple reasons.
When I leave work, I go down. What is this? This is 8th. So what is that? 9th on the backside, or is that 7th? It's 9th on the backside. And I go past the courthouse. There is no way two cars are passing each other. And it's not on the city of Fargo. It's the fact that people had their cars sitting there so long that and there's cars parked there all the time. The crews cannot get in there and clean it.
But it's just for one night.
Yeah.
And then they'll move, and then you can move back. This isn't like it's going to be all winter. It's one night, every occasional night.
It's got to be done, Dave. Yeah. It has to be done. Mark, down in Wahpeton, you're up on a Jay Thomas Show.
So, question here for Dave. If you end up having a situation where we have, let's say, 4, 8, or 10 inches, and they're out trying to plow the snow, and obviously there's cars that are in the way, which is a nuisance. There's no question about that. If the cars can't either get passed down that street, or if they have no place to go, where does Fargo propose for these cars to magically go during a snow event?
Well, what's going to happen? So let's say that we pass this, and so there's this fine. Well, we don't have time to be, and there's not enough tow trucks in the world to tow them.
Yeah.
And so what we're hoping is that if there's a fine, people take it seriously, and they don't want to get the fine and move their car. And like I said, all it is, it's temporary for one night. So that,
I understand that, but the question again comes back to where are they going to move it to? Because if everything is already plugged with snow, or if the cars are plugging the streets and people are unable to pass through, I mean, is there going to be a cleared parking lot where, like, say, the Fargo Dome, people can go park at the Fargo Dome and then hitch a ride back home? I mean, the question is that you've got these cars that are obviously in the way right now on the road, but they're going to be in the way someplace else, because what are we expecting people to circle the block during the snow?
It's a good question.
Yeah,
but
it is a good
question. But other cities have the same policies, and so we'll figure it out. But I mean, the main thing is it's only going to be when we have a storm and where we have to get all the streets cleared in a hurry. And if we don't do it, we're going to have this same situation.
Yeah, I think Mark and Dave, listeners, the attitude right now is because Fargo really doesn't do anything about it. They're not going to ticket me. I'll be fine. I don't have time to go out and clean my car. I'll do it later. I'll wait till the snow melts. No, that ain't going to happen anymore, because it's turning into a nightmare, not just for the crews, but man, I don't know, Mark. You drive around here in Fargo after this last storm. My God, even a week later, it's like this car hasn't been touched. It's like, what are these people in Florida or something? I mean, come on, it's absurd.
And that's a valid concern. I guess the question is, like, okay, during a heavy snow event, in many cases, there's no travel advised.
Yeah.
So if there's no travel advised, people can't move their cars, even anticipation of, because how many times have we said, yeah, we're going to get 6 inches and we get a dusting?
So the
question really is, if you have a vehicle that's in the way, it has to be able to go someplace out of the way so that the crews can do their jobs.
Well,
and I am fully support that, but there has to be some place for them to go.
Here's what I would suggest. Now, I don't know if this will work for everybody, but you know what? If you know that Fargo's going to do this is coming down the pipe, then maybe it's time you go, okay, I have a car that sits on this street. I do not have a driveway. I need to find a place that I can put my car if we got a blizzard coming. Now, years ago, when the boys were still at home, we had my vehicle, Alex's. Well, I had my two vehicles, Alex's vehicle. We had Ty's vehicle, and we only had room in our driveway for two places. And we knew, okay, we had something set up with a neighbor down the street. Hey, if it gets bad, can we park? Can Ty park his vehicle in your driveway so it's off the street?
Yep.
And that was set up. I mean, people are just going to have to start thinking ahead and figure this thing out. And they will. If you come out and have a $150 parking ticket or ticket on your vehicle, guess what? You're not going to get another one. You're going to figure something out.
Right.
Mark.
Can I ask one more question?
Yeah, one more question. Okay. Go ahead.
Would Fargo be allowed, would they be willing to relax, like parking on, clear a space on your lawn to park a vehicle in the wintertime so that we could get them off the streets? Because that seems like it would take care of a lot of parking.
That's not a bad idea
And like you said, potentially other driveways, that's a lot of people park on the street convenience. Then you don't have to back one car out for another person to get out.
So yeah.
I think there's a lot of potential solutions. And obviously we have lots of parking. It's like in the downtown, we have private parking facilities.
Yeah.
We have the parking ramps, but on the residential areas, we don't have quite as many places. So,
there's one. Mark, appreciate the phone call. That lawn idea is actually a great idea, because I know you're not supposed to be parking on your lawns, but if you said, hey, look, if it's a snow emergency and you don't have a driveway, whatever, and if you want to go ahead and clear a spot and park on the lawn, if you got the you don't own the place, you got the owner's consent, we'll go ahead and allow you to do that. But you can only have it on there for
temporarily
so many hours.
Yeah. No, that's
not a bad idea.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Let's see. Who do we got next here? I believe Bill. Bill, you're up in Fargo on the Jay Thomas Show.
Hi. See, your lawn idea won't work because that's where you got to put your old snow from your driveway. Mine right now has 3 feet of snow on it.
Well,
two and a half.
Well, some people it will work, some it won't, but it's an option.
I think it's a good idea, but I'm concerned about the enforcement. If the street department's going to hang the tickets, the firemen, the police, or are you going to privately contract it? I don't think there's enough city employees right now. We've heard for months the public safety, or years even, needs more people. And if we're going to tax them, I don't think it's doing it. I don't know if it's been thought out that far. So, Dave, has there been any ideas of who's going to do the actual parking enforcement?
And that's a great question. And so the other thing is we have not taken action on it. The city hasn't. And so in the next month and a half, I think these are all excellent questions. And if you don't bring them up, I'll try to ask them when these come up. But those are all but I don't believe... First of all, what I know for sure is we are not going to be towing vehicles. We're going to be ticketing them because we don't have time. But I don't think we're going to have the police doing the ticketing. I think the street department will maybe contact somebody and then they'll do the tickets. But our plow drivers, like we just said, they don't have time
to jump out and ticket vehicles.
Yeah. And I just want to tell people what we're trying to do is get this done as quickly as possible when we have a snowstorm. If we don't move the snow off in North Dakota, it lasts for 3 months.
It's a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare. Jamie, West Fargo, Jay Thomas Show.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, good.
Hey, I just wanted to let you know there's a solution to everything. First, it's teamwork, working in unison, using technology as an alert system, and then about logistics. You tell them when you're coming, they'll move their cars. Yep. Everybody's happy. You don't have to pass no laws. We just work together. That's how we do it in North Dakota. So
no,
you just got to inform us that that's going to happen, and we'll do it. You know,
yeah,
that's
simple. No, but Jamie, if they don't do it, then they're getting $150.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Once again, the example of this is it's not going to happen every time we get a dusting of snow. This is when we have a heavy snow and the street department has to have everybody out. Yep. So this
benefits everybody if they just do their job, move out of the way. Then everything's clean and it's safe. It's all about public safety. So, all right.
Yep.
Thank you.
Jay, appreciate the holy cow, do we get a ton of emails here. Just so you know, according to Ben Dow, he said, of the 15 zones in the city of 50 miles each, there's 15 zones of 50 miles each. It takes crews 10 hours to plow if vehicles are left on the street because the drivers, they got to lift the blades. They got to get around the vehicles. It's a pain in the arse. When there are no vehicles on the street, it only takes 5 hours. It cuts it in half. So what does that do to the budget?
Exactly.
You know, I mean,
we also will have better streets, and we'll be able to do it faster. And you have the other thing is public safety. If you have you can't get a fire truck through some of these. That's not a good.
No, it's
not.
I mean, honestly, Dave, you've seen. I mean, getting a fire truck through some of these streets because cars have been left out there.
Yeah, that's not safe.
Yeah, we talk about Fargo, West Fargo, Moorhead, whatever city USA up here in the Great White North. Well, what's the big thing we hear every year, multiple times a year? Make sure you shovel out your fire hydrant so, God forbid, there's a fire, they can get to the fire hydrant. But the damn engines can't even get down the road to get to the fire hydrant, Dave.
No, so it'll all work out, and I think we have a good system of everyone will get their say, and it's something that if there's things that we need to change as time goes on, we can do that too. So I think it'll all work out.
Now, the city of Fargo, you guys are going to hold a meeting where the public can come, right?
No, absolutely. So it's going to be, and eventually it will go on a city commission, and anybody can come and talk at those meetings. We have time for public comment, and so people will be welcome. But good questions. There's nothing wrong with that.
And here's the thing. Listen, it's like a broken record. Don't go on social media. I mean, I put stuff up and have fun, but I'm telling you right now, the stuff that I put up on social media or other talk show hosts put up on social media, and people comment, your city commissioners, they don't sit there and go, okay. No. You need to either email your commissioners, yep. doesn't matter what city you're in,
yep.
or show up at the commission meetings.
Yep.
They're not scrolling through social media going, oh, on Jay's Facebook page, they said this. It doesn't work that way. I mean, I love when you comment and do that, but that comment, and you know, there'll be some folks, and I love it, they'll put some big, long three-paragraph, you know, this, and that's great, but I'm telling you, that ain't going to move a city commissioner. Nope. No city commissioner is going, oh, you know what? It's Tuesday. Let's go through Jay's page. Or nope. let's go through this host page. Or let's nope. go through this TV station, social media. Nope. No, you need to go to the meetings or you need to email a commissioner.
Yep.
That's how this works. Craig Fargo, Jay Tommy Show.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I don't know if this is feasible or not. It's just an idea. What if, you know, I've been picked up by courtesy vehicles from car lots. You can see the GPS with them vehicles as they're on their way to pick you up.
Okay.
Can't we do those with the city plows so we kind of know when they're coming?
We do in West
Fargo. And
we
have
do
an app?
We do in West Fargo. West Fargo has that. We know where the plows are.
Oh, yeah. My wife wanted to get one for city commissioners, too, so you, know, where, so you know where they are.
Is that something
that Fargo could do? No,
that's a good point. Like all the Matt bus, same thing. They all have GPS, and you can see where they are on their road. So that's an excellent point.
See, now that was made on the show. Dave's writing that down right now. He's not. He'll remember it, though.
Thanks,
that's because I know West Fargo, and I always forget to check out where the plows are. But I make sure that if snow's coming, because it's just Alex and I now, get the vehicles up in the driveway, get in position right, because I know she's got to leave before me and all that. So then the plow can come by and clean my street and leave a big, massive ridge along the front of my driveway, which I laugh at that, too. People complain about. First, people complain that the streets aren't getting plowed. Then when the streets get plowed, they complain about the ridge in front of their driveway. And then they well, we should get those things on the plows that Bismarck has so they can stop that. Let me tell you something. Those things don't work as great as you think they do, and they can't just put those on the equipment we have now. You have to get new equipment.
It all costs money,
and then it's going to cost money if people are going to complain about that. All right, I got a ton of emails to get to. More with Commissioner Pepcorn. We're going to talk about these city traffic fines. What are you city? Well, you guys haven't done it yet. Are you on board with this?
Are you? Of course. Our traffic
fines
now,
nuts.
It's like $10 for a speeding ticket. I see you going through Fargo just throwing money out the window, speeding, saying, I am
100% for raising traffic fines. But this is the way we're going about this. The state has screwed up again.
But all we're doing, we're following what the state allowed us to do.
Yes, and you're going to turn around and get sued again. You are,
hey man,
West
we
Fargo.
We get sued all the time.
But look,
we get sued
last time you got sued.
But
last time you got sued over this, y'all lost.
But
and you had to pay back $1.5 million.
No, that was a bad one. But this one, we are following the exactly what the legislature allowed us to do.
Because the state legislature didn't look at this thoroughly. They did not. Dave, I'm all for higher fines.
So we're following what the legislature allowed us to do. So if we get sued, that's life, man.
That's taxpayer money, buddy.
But I'm just telling you, we got to raise our fines.
We
do. We do.
We'll get into it when we come back. We'll get caught up on all these emails. And if you want to weigh in on what to do with snow removal in Fargo and how to handle it, 293-9000, toll free 1-888-970-9329. Email talk@wday.com. More with Fargo City Commissioner Dom and Dave Pepcorn. We come back, Jay Thomas Show. Man, we got a ton of emails to get to. Then I'll get to, is it Annie's up there in Grand Forks waiting get on the program, Fargo City Commissioner Dave Pepcorn, talking about snow fines. If the city says, hey, get your cars off the street. We got a storm coming. We got to get these streets cleared. $150. Well, what am I? Too bad. Get your damn car off the street. You own the car. You got responsibilities when it comes. Now, I got to believe in North Fargo. You get around the university where a lot of these single-family homes have been turned into multi-family homes for college kids. Now, that's got to be a nightmare because, you know, these homes originally were built for a family. Now you got three apartments in here, and I don't know how many, you know, it's got to be tight up there.
No, it's going to be a challenge, and you have to find alternate opportunities to park your car. Fit as many as you can in the driveway, and we'll have to look at some other solutions, maybe parking at the Fargo Dome lot. NDSU has some lots.
Somebody just sent a message about that.
So there will be other things.
Says money is right at the dome. How could it be with the parking? Must mean money is tight. Folks, again, I don't read a whole lot of text messages. Email me. Once in a while, I'll do text messages because you people use the voice thing and it never comes across. So pre-read before you send it me. So now this one, I'm just blowing that one off. Let's see. Annie, hang on. I got to get caught up on emails. I live in North Fargo and I'm wondering why the city isn't enforcing the winter parking rules. Nobody parks on the streets / avenues they are supposed to on the nights they are supposed to. I have never seen anyone receive a ticket this year. Our streets are still a mess. Time to hand out tickets.
I think a lot of people are tired of the current way. And so, but I think we have to be careful. You want to listen to everybody's opinions and give it a try.
Well, you got some great ideas today on the program. Let's see, Jay, I work in park downtown and they enforce the overnight parking. I live next to NDSU and they don't, here's another, they don't ticket anymore. Why? We have no room to take cars off streets and avenues at the same time. This is a high density area.
And the challenge in the downtown is definitely, but the one thing we are, actually tomorrow we're going to have another parking ramp that we're going to start construction on.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's an alternative. The Roberts Commons, that ramp is awesome. There's one on Main Avenue between the two banks. That's a great place. So
is that the Island Park one?
Yes, Island Park. That one's got lots of space.
And that one, I think there's an email coming up for YardNet. Another one, Jay, Dave, the cars need to be in their driveways or alley behind. Exactly. Yep. Let's see. Dave, sorry, this is a high density zoned area that already has limited parking. Just enforce the laws you have. Must be talking about that same area.
Yep. But Ben talked about the downtown. This is not what we're talking about is mostly in the neighborhoods where the downtown already has strict regulations.
Yeah. There's not an issue downtown, right?
Right. So.
All right. Another one. Jay, Dave, it's simple. Make people park on the even side of the street for 24 hours after the storm. Then the next day, make it mandatory to park on the odd side and clear one side at a time. I guess that's calendar parking, kind of a calendar parking. But now you're going out days.
But this is just for specific storms. Snow emergencies. And so,
let's see. All right. How long does it take Fargo to clean the roads? If you have a snow emergency day for no cars on the roads, will the city be able to remove all the snow that day? Maybe stagger the days of the no parking mandate to two. So you say if they're off, one day, boom, done.
Yes.
Hold on. Let's see. I got to read this. This is fun. Dave sounds like a politician more and more. Pass a line, it will all work out. Then go sit in the president's suite at the Dome and wait. Oh, my God. Look, you got to do something. You have to do something. We cannot continue to deal with this crap on the streets. We just can't. We can't be 2 weeks later still trying to maneuver and clean up from a storm.
We just got to try this. Other cities have done it. We got to give it a shot. If there's things that we need to change as time goes by, we can do that. But that's, people are not comfortable with change sometimes. Yeah. And so
this goes on. If I get a $150 fine, it will be laying in Nebraska because of the blizzard blowing it there. Well, okay, Mr. Man. All right, let's see. This one here. I got one more, then I'll get to Annie here. And what did I just do? I just screwed up there we go. Get more snow removal equipment. Spend the money on it. Our city is growing.
That's true.
But it doesn't matter how much snow removal equipment you have. If there's a bunch of cars in the way, that's not curing the problem.
And if you don't move snow right away in Fargo, North Dakota,
it turns into
concrete.
It's
going to be there for a long time.
Hey, up to Grand Forks, Annie, Jay Thomas Show.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, Ann?
Just a quick thought. It's been I don't know if it's really been fully discussed, but why not when you have your snow emergency, just plow the streets the first day, plow the avenues the second, and, your speaker has said that in one day the city can get it done. But I was in a town that did it that way, and it eliminated a lot of overtime, and it has solved the problem of where does everybody put their cars.
Have you guys looked at that?
Yep, that's good, and that'll be some, like I said, we're going to have plenty of opportunities for public comments, and we have not taken action on it yet, and so those are all things that we'll talk about when we vote.
And you and the mayor want action, though, done now. You guys don't want to be waiting, because I know Ben wants some public input. He wants to, he was thinking, end of January, February, and you guys want it. Let's get it done now.
The sooner the better.
Yeah. Hey, Annie, good idea. Thank you for that. So street parking, hit the avenues, and you move to avenues and hit the streets. Let's see. Terry's in Fargo. You're up on the Jay Thomas Show.
Hello, Jay. Hello, Commissioner. I have a question. I used to live in Sioux Falls, South Dakota for about 12 years. Prior to that, 30 years in Fargo. And Sioux Falls has a practice of using private contractors for the streets. Is that a practice currently in Fargo as well?
I believe so. I know for sure we have them as far as moving snow from the cul-de-sacs after the snow removal, the city's crews have. But that's a good point, too. Are we doing that? And maybe that would speed up the process. I do think in the downtown where we have to literally haul all the snow out, I do think that we have private contractors help with that.
Okay, that was just a question I had in my mind. Thank you.
Hey, Terry, appreciate the phone call. Here we go. In the event of a heavy snow, could the Island Park ramp be open for free parking?
That's good. That's a good suggestion.
Is it's not free now at Island Park?
Nope.
Okay.
And that might be something. Well, but the other thing is, after five, all of our public lots are open. So here's a thought: you park, put your car in the. If it's after five,
hey,
how about that? So anyway,
I don't want to walk through.
There's lots of potential things, but I will say, if you get a chance to go downtown, try the public parking, like the Roco ramp, and you can walk to everything, and it's awesome. And
all
it's
right.
free.
All right, listen, let me take a break, then we'll come back. Let's hit this fine thing. You knuckleheads. You're all, oh, just taking it to the top? We don't have to, okay, fantastic. All right, Dave. So, I'm all for raising the traffic fines. I mean, it is a joke. I've said it before. As soon as you cross the bridge over to Minnesota, you instantly look at your speedometer and go, okay, I'm in Minnesota. I don't want to get, because they nail you over there. Over here, it's like, give me a break. Come on, man. $10. I'm going 110 miles an hour over the speed limit. It's $10 out of my pocket. Of course, I'm exaggerating. I'm all for the city raising the fines. Grand Forks has done it. Bismarck has now done it. West Fargo, I found out today, yes, they did do it. And now Fargo is talking about doing it. John Strand's got some concerns about lawsuits. I had Mark Freeze on his program a couple weeks back. I know Mark Freeze wrote a letter, I think, to you commissioners before you even started talking about it, or when it was first came out. Hey, look, you might want to rethink this or think through this thing. Let me ask you this. Okay, because I do think, Dave, there's going to be a lawsuit. It's going to be a big one again. Why? Because this is, it's breaking the constitutional amendment. We'll get to that in a second. Why not go ahead as Fargo and sit back and go, you know what? Even though you're doubling the fines, it's really still it's laughable.
I agree.
It really is. We're going from, what, $12 to $24 on some fines, 10 to 20. It's laughable.
Right.
So why not sit back, give it a year, and see if Grand Forks or Bismarck or West Fargo get involved in a lawsuit? Let them be the guinea pig. And I don't like the fact that my town has gone ahead and done this, because I do believe that there's going to be a lawsuit, and it's going to be – the cities are going to lose on this.
I don't think so.
They're going to end up paying. So why not just sit back and go, you know what? Do we really need to do? Because, Dave, going from $12 to $24, let's be honest, and that's as high as you guys can go. You're not. That is not going to make an iota bit of difference on people speeding. It's not.
But the stop signs, now it's $40. Well, then that's closer to having some bit of impact. There's still a joke.
It's a joke.
So I just go by. So last night, our city attorney advised us, saying that we believe that we're in good legal grounds. And so that's what we follow. But Commissioner Strand wanted to delay it. So that's what we're going to do.
So it's delayed. Now what happens, Dave?
So now we're going to have some time to digest it, because we did not act on it yet. So we'll have our city attorney once again. But all we're going by is what the legislature told us we could do. That's what we're doing.
So the first time
we lost,
you just did it on your own.
We did it on our own, and that was not a good move.
And it was Fargo and West Fargo, if I'm not mistaken.
Both, I believe,
got,
so.
Yeah, it was like $1.5 million. Yep. But that was on your own. This time, the cities that are going ahead and doubling the fines again, which I think, fines should be higher. You guys are going and being told, look, you're not breaking a law. You're doing what the state lawmakers said you could do this time
Correct.
Around. Excuse me, but the problem that comes in is that the Constitution requires, and I have in front of me, equal protection under the law. And this was Senate Bill 2304 that was passed that says, hey, go ahead and double your fines. That bill allows locals to increase traffic fines up to double the state levels. Where the equal protection problem comes in, when locals raise their fines, it creates a situation where the fine you face for something like speeding may hinge on what uniform the officer writing the ticket is wearing, because
But that's not, that does not have anything to do with the city of Fargo.
You're saying, so if there's a lawsuit, it's not the cities that should be sued, it's the state of North Dakota.
Absolutely. Well, we're doing what they told us we could do. If the county wants to raise their fine and the state wants to raise their fine, they can.
Because the North Dakota Supreme Court, they were clear on this in the first go-around. When two statutes prohibit the same conduct but result in different penalties, a person suffering the more serious penalty has been denied equal protection of the law.
Yeah.
So basically, then what I'm hearing here is our state lawmakers, they, by doing this, they're allowing the law to be broken.
It's crazy. But I think the... It'll be interesting, and this will all be decided in the courts.
Okay.
But all we're doing is we're going by what the legislature told us we could do. I am not a legal mind.
I'm not either.
But the other thing, it's embarrassing. Our fines.
Well, that's a joke.
And the state legislature, it's like, man, who exactly do you represent? And it's a public safety issue.
It is a huge, I mean, you see it, I see it, everywhere. We all see it.
So then why aren't they doing anything that's...
I'll tell you why. Let me tell you why the lawmakers are doing nothing about this. I'm going to tell you exactly why. And I'll get messages now from them. They're doing this, and I think it's more the rural lawmakers than it is lawmakers that are in the metro areas, because their constituents don't want to be nailed for going over the speed limit on some back country road in North Dakota. But here's the problem. Those are the roads where the deadly accidents happen.
That's true.
Those are where, if you look at a majority of the deadly bad crashes, it's on these rural roads. It's not on the city roads. But these lawmakers don't want to tick off their constituents. So they're you know what? You cities do it. We'll put it on your back.
But the funny thing is, if they want to give us local control, then give us local control. And really, we still don't have it. Because now it's just a big clown show.
It is a clown show. You don't have local. You know, this League of Cities, which is nothing but a lobbying group, okay, and they're all for this, okay? All right, does that mean that when the lawsuits come out, is the League of Cities going to give you guys a break on what you pay to the League of Cities? I stole that from Rob Port. That was a great line, too, by the way.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
I'm saying, as Fargo, why not just, because, again, at the end of the day, and Chief Todd's going to hear this and go, Jay, what are you doing? But honestly, at the end of the day, the big issue, according to Chief Todd, is speeding. That's the number one complaint. But those speeding fines are still a joke. So why not say, you know what? Us doubling the speeding fine from this to from 12 to 24, whatever it is, it's really not going to change anybody's habits. It's not a stiff enough fine. So why even take the chance of getting sucked into a lawsuit, having to hire attorneys? Why not sit back as a city and go, you know what? You guys, we'll see how it works out for you for the next year. We'll see what happens. Okay. Lawsuit? Glad we didn't do it. We're not sucked. No lawsuits? All right, maybe we need to take a look at this. All right, buddy. I'm out of time. I got three words for you. Watch Dave turn red. Ready? Fargo Airport Authority. No, dude.
Hey, can I just say real quick?
You got to go fast.
So we're in mediation, and I'm very optimistic. That we'll have resolution by the end of the year. So,
all right, this weekend, Bison, who wins?
Bison easily. And Merry Christmas to you and all your group, and hope you have happy holidays and safe travels and all that stuff.
Merry Christmas to you, the family, and everybody else. Thanks, brother.
Thank you, sir.
You got a WDAY time coming up at 4 o'clock, ABC News, and more. Oh, I'll tell you that big scam that's going around now. We'll do that next, Jay Thomas Show. All right, that's enough Blondie for the day. All right, hour three of the Jay Thomas Show. No,
for the year.
Christy Keeley for the year. I'll give you that, too. Let's do Rapture. I like Rapture. You know, we got to throw some Loverboy in there in the bumper music.
No, boy.
Oh, yeah, we're doing it. No Kirsten. She's on assignment today, so no la di da. All right. So get a piece of paper and a pencil handy, or pen or whatever. Write this down. I'll give you a couple minutes. I don't know if this will help you out or not, but email says, Jay, when you touch on the topic of the new phone scam, is there a phone number that you could give to alert people? Yeah, I do have the phone number for this new ridiculous scam that's out there, but I can see this one getting people as well. So my question to you, 2939,000, I'm just curious, what's one of the last scam calls you have received? This is a new one for me. It's got to be a new one going around. I don't know how many other people receive this scam, but this one they have set up pretty well, where I could see it. And again, these scammers, they are going after vulnerable people. They're going after the elderly. And it's a shame because people do fall for these scams, and these scammers get more and more smart, more elaborate in their scams. So I want to give folks a heads up on this, but I'm just curious, what's one of the last ones that you got? 293-9000, toll free 1-888-970-9329. Our email's talkwday.com. Jim's in Kinnard. Jim, you're up on a Jay Thomas Show.
What's going on, Jay?
Hey, what's up, man?
5 times in the last 3 days. It's kind of funny. I just got in the car and heard you talking about these scam calls. I got a, comes up as a number from Washington, D.C.
Okay.
And it's, you know, telling me that my Social Security number has been utilized or been found in some sort of fraud.
Bingo! That's the one I got today.
Yeah, so I let this go. So, you know, press 1 if you want to talk to someone right away.
Yep.
So I pressed 1.
Ooh.
And this gentleman from somewhere else with a very strange accent,
yeah,
informed me that I needed to provide him my Social Security number. And I said, well, gosh, I really don't know. Let me have, as a Social Security Administration officer, you're a GS employee, so I need your GS ID number so I can validate you that you're a real person.
Nice.
And he proceeds to tell me that if I don't provide my Social Security number, that I'm going to be arrested. And I said, well, when is that going to be? And he said, right now. And I said, okay, cool. Awesome. Which police agency is going to arrest me? Because I know a few of them, so I just want to make sure I inform them right away. And then he called me an a-hole and hung up.
Yeah, see, this is I don't know if this is a new scam. This is... like I said, I answered the phone today just because I had a bunch of calls out, and you know, I'm thinking, okay, this is one of the people I'm waiting to hear from, and it comes on, and you're right, it says, and it's in a robotic voice, so it sounds pretty legit. It said your Social Security number has been suspended because of suspicious activity. Press 1, yeah, to talk to someone to clear this up immediately or to reinstate your Social Security number. I think that's what it was.
And exactly the one I got there, yep.
And I didn't press 1 because I thought, well, if I press 1, that's somehow going to get in. So I just hung up. So you actually talked to some knucklehead.
Oh, yeah. I talked to a gentleman who...
Not a gentleman. Yeah. Don't call him a gentleman. That's not what he is.
I don't know about you talking about Jay.
Yeah, it's some scam phishing knucklehead PO, you know what? Yeah.
All is it, but you know what the problem is, and you know what, I took it as a funny matter. I mean, I guess sane enough and still have my faculties enough not to provide my Social Security number over the phone to anybody, let alone somebody that barely speaks English. But you know what the bigger problem here is, that they're going to call someone at some point in time, and
yep,
that person, you know, for whether it's a dementia issue, Alzheimer's, they're maybe slightly of age that they just don't think properly enough, or they're younger and they don't think properly enough, and they're going to give this to them.
Yeah, so the number you got came up from, you said yours showed up as Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, 203 area code, Washington, D.C.
Yeah, see, mine came up as a 1-888 number. So evidently, giving out the phone number isn't gonna help because they're doing the typical, just using whatever phone number for this. But yeah, if you folks out, did you get the call today, Jim? Or
yep, I'm trying to pull up the number right now for you.
Okay, yeah, I've got the number. Mine's 1-888. That is an 828 or 282 number, which I believe would be a local prefix.
This one, well, see, this one's area code. I know it's area code 203. Hold on a second. I get a lot of calls, Jay.
Yeah.
That's 203, and then it's 666-8888.
Yeah, and you know what? Now that I think about it, I believe mine didn't come up Washington. Mine came up, what did it come up? I can't remember what it came up. But, you know, you look real quick, go, yeah, I'm waiting for calls and grab it. And he's like, ah, damn it. But I should have pressed the 1.
Well, and you know, it's kind of funny too. And you all, you've made mention of this before. You know, when you search something on your phone, all of a sudden on your Facebook generator, friendship generator thing, all of a sudden that ad pops up for what you're looking for.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. But it's kind of funny because I'm working on an additional claim with my VA, and I had just last week received a call from a 203 Washington, D.C. area code, and it was the Department of Veterans Affairs just wanting to get some additional information.
Really? And then so the scam number comes up as a 203, so somehow they're clomping onto that area code.
I tell you, Jay, I think you're onto something with everybody's listening to you.
Yeah, they are. I believe they are. Jim, appreciate the phone call. Let's see. Who's here? Claire out in West Fargo, Jay Thomas Show.
Yeah, Jay, I got the same call. Fraudulent activity, da-da-da, you know?
You got it.
And,
okay.
Yeah, and my number, now I got two, and it's the same number. They called twice today. One was from Washington, D.C., 800-444-5515, and then about an hour later from California, the same thing, 1-800-444-5515.
And it was the same thing, saying your Social yes. Security number's yes. been suspended, push yes. one. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. And they probably have looked how old we are and thinking we're that stupid. I will not answer. They can call 100 times. And I should do like that man, press 1 and give them, you know,
hell, yeah.
a little bit of activity.
Yeah.
But I got that too.
I kind of wish I would have pushed it. Now, I could have had fun, but I'm afraid if I push it, is that going to, you know, give them information or put me on another list? So I just hung up on it. Well, Claire, uh-huh. Claire, I'm glad you didn't fall for it.
No, never.
Get the word out to all your friends. Claire, appreciate the phone call. Our buddy Randy out in Hoople's up next on the Jay Thomas Show.
Yeah, kiddo.
Hey.
I got that call about my number being suspended here about 3 months ago.
Okay, so
and it was an officer something or other from the Social Security Administration
yep.
or whatever.
Okay.
And I was a little worried about it, being it was, you know, it sounded real official.
Yep. Don't.
And anyway, I suppose a month later I got that same call, and I will not answer any of those calls that come in unless they leave me a message. Then I'll call them back. Well, these dingbats left me a message. I didn't call them back, though. And here just the other day, I got one. I don't know where it was from. I don't know who it was from. It says, we're going to be taking you to court if you don't answer this call.
Yep.
Well, of course. I thought, hell with you, you know. No way I'm answering that.
Yeah.
But I must get, oh, golly, I must get 25, 30 a week, and most of them are from my local number. It's even from my same area code and like the 360 is mine, and I get from the same ones. They come from North Dakota, and same thing.
Yeah,
message, but they'll call.
Yeah, these scammers, they've figured out how to tap local numbers and make it, or use numbers and make it look, and there's a name for that, and I can't remember what they call it, but so evidently this scam's been going on for a while. Well, I'm glad hopefully the problem, like Jim earlier said, the problem is that somebody's going to fall for this and they're going to end up getting their bank account and everything else wiped out, and they're going to get
exactly. And I'm glad you're doing this, because that did happen to me, and I got it stopped before.
Thank God.
And it was it was dumb.
Yeah,
but they caught me at a bad time, and I answered the phone, and I must have talked for about 45 minutes or so to these people, and they just wouldn't give it up, you know.
Yeah.
And anyway, they wanted my bank routing number.
No.
And I said, I don't have a check bank with me, so I can't do that. Well, then they wanted to know if they called Monday. I said, this was on a Saturday or something. If they called me on a Monday, could they get my number? I said, yeah, sure, that's no problem. So so anyway,
all right.
I got a hold of the state's attorney, and I've got a hold of the, and I also got a message to the Federal Trade Commission, and they called me on Monday, and I said, you know, you can just stick it, because there's no way I'm giving you that routing number.
No,
well,
no,
we'll take you to court.
No.
I said, no, you won't. Yeah. I've got it taken care of.
All right, Randy, appreciate the phone call. You did the right thing. Hang on, callers. You know, if you get calls like this, and we're asking, what's one of the last scam calls you received? I got this one today. I thought maybe it was a new one. And it was pretty official sounding. It's that robotic voice comes on. It says, your Social Security number has been suspended because of suspicious activities. Push 1 to get this, to have this problem, or I think it was to have your Social Security number reinstated. And like I said, it sounds very official. You know, folks, anybody that calls you looking for a Social Security number, bank information, no matter how...
I actually have the audio of what the call sounds like.
Okay, hold on a second. Yeah, I do want you to play it. Do not fall for it. Do not lose sleep. Don't think somebody's coming to get you. Hang up on that crap. The Social Security, the IRS, the law enforcement are not going to reach out to you this way. They will not. Again, no matter how important or urgent or official it sounds, you hang up. Do not fall for this. Dan West Fargo, Jay Thomas Show.
Yeah, that's funny you should mention that, because yesterday morning at 5, I'm looking at my call list.
Yeah.
At 5:25 in the morning, I got a call from a 215 area code, and it says Willow Grove, Pennsylvania. And he wasn't making sense, and I hung up on him. And he called at 5:26, 5:29, and 5:30.
Good God.
I know. So I put a block on a number, but it is irritating. You get them a lot.
Yeah.
Now, what were you saying about push one, though?
Well, this new scam, or evidently it's not a new one, but this scam that I got today, it tells you to press one now to talk to an agent to get your Social Security number reinstated. Oh. But the way they did it, this is one of the first scams I got where they had that real official sounding kind of robotic voice. And the first thing I thought is, my God, they're going to catch people with this one. And so, again, people, again, the IRS, Social Security Administration, law enforcement, the tax, these people are not going to call you and ever ask for any kind of Social Security, bank numbers, anything like that over the phone, no matter how much they threaten to send police over. Hang up on them immediately. It is a scam. That's all it is.
Well, like most people, you know, when you get a number like that, you think, it must be something happened at 5:30 in the morning, so I answered. And, of course, it's a bunch of garbage.
Yeah.
But they persistently kept calling back. I even texted them, send me a text.
Well,
of course, he wouldn't do that.
I believe what happens, Kyle, isn't what happens is once you answer that number, your phone is now active and on a list.
Right. So your phone is listed as an active number.
Yeah.
So that tells them that, yes, it is an active phone number. They will try and keep calling you.
Yeah. So, again, I got bit. So I'm quite sure now I'll be getting calls for the next couple of weeks to, like, quit answering. But, again, for my situation where I'm calling umpteen million different numbers a day that aren't in my contacts, you know, that's the number. You know, you don't really look, and it's like, damn it, they got me.
Same with me. I drive all day, so I'm on the phone all the time.
All right, Dan, appreciate the phone call, brother. All right, 424. Somebody sent me a snowplow joke. I got to read this. This is good. Because, of course, we had Commissioner Pepcorn and what the city wants to do when it comes to getting your cars off the street for snow removal. One winter morning while listening to the radio, Bob and his wife hear the announcer say, we're going to have 4 to 6 inches of snow today. You must park your car on the even-numbered side of the street so the snowplow can get through. Bob's wife goes out and moves her car. A week later, while they're eating breakfast, the radio announcer says, we're expecting 6 to 8 inches of snow today. You must park your car on the odd-numbered side of the street so the snowplow can get through. Bob's wife goes out and moves her car again. The next week, they're having breakfast again when the radio announcer says, we're expecting 8 to 10 inches of snow today. Where do they live, in Fargo? You must park. Then the electric power goes out. So just goes, you must park. Boom, power goes out. Bob's wife is very upset, and with a worried look on her face, she says, honey, I don't know what to do. Which side of the street do I need to park on so the plow can get through? With a love and understanding in his voice, like all men who are married to blondes exhibit, Bob says, why don't you just leave it in the garage this time? All right, there you go. All right, Sue J. Thomas Show.
Hey, Jay.
1,000 mile an hour, Sue Barron, what's up?
Well, since you were going on your little vacation here, I need to let you know in this community what they have done. We have the total number of the socks that was raised. Thanks to you, Jay, for spearheading this, all our local and surrounding law enforcement. But we are so happy to let everyone know that we did raise 10,000 pairs of socks were raised in under a month.
That's
for
awesome.
Our homeless kids.
That's awesome. 10,000 pairs. And again, the community, huge response from the community, all the local and regional law enforcement that got involved, Golden Drive homeless kids. Just over 10,000 pair?
Yeah, there was just a little over 10,000 pairs of socks. And these were all brand new socks.
Yep.
Good heavy duty socks. And what's going to happen now, we're at the fire department now. We've been here all day. On Friday is the day we go down. Yes, our day of the event is over, but our bulk is going down the road. So we got socks for every high school, every junior high, shelters, school. We're going all out with the socks, birthday bags. We have so much food we're donating to this community that we're going to need a separate trip for a full trailer.
That's cool.
And then all the product. We have almost a completely full trailer of just product for all new, all for transitional, for teenagers, for mothers, fathers, for every walk. We are going down the road. We start at 10:30. We'll be starting at Youth Works. We'll be our first drop on Friday, and then from there we'll go to the next shelter. And then Thursday, I believe we are going to be doing going down the road with nothing but socks, food, and birthday bags.
Wow. Wow.
That's
amazing, Sue. You know, hats off to you for starting Golden Drive and the community for stepping up and all the businesses and everybody's been involved. This is amazing. And I'm happy to been able to help you out and be part of it. And I know each year is just going to get bigger and bigger. So hats off to you, Sue Barron. And go relax now.
You know, come Saturday, I might be able to do that, yeah. But not till then.
kick back on Saturday and just relax, man. Find a bean bag, grab a bag of Cheetos, and just sit down and start munching.
And my Golden Girls, baby, and I'm set. I am so thankful, Fargo, Moorhead, and beyond.
That's amazing.
Don't even have words.
Absolutely amazing, Sue. Thank you for the update and everything you do for the community and the homeless.
You bet, and thank you for making our community much better, Jay Thomas. Thank you very much, man.
Yeah, anytime I can help out. A couple of emails, Jay. Biggest scam I had done to me was over a year and a half ago. This woman convinced me she loved me and wanted to marry me. 5 weeks before the wedding, I came home to an empty house because I wouldn't agree to give her $1,000 just because. Scammers are everywhere. Jay, phone scam regarding Social Security, had the same one 6 weeks ago. Okay, so once again, Jay Thomas late to the party. Nobody wants to call me right away. I thought it was a brand new one. So, well, anyway, it's out there. Let me say it again. No matter how official the phone call sounds, do not ever give any information. I don't care if they say they're the IRS, and if you don't give this information now, they're going to come arrest you. There is nobody that's coming to arrest you. I don't care if they call and say they're the Cass County Sheriff, Clay County Sheriff, and you need to give them this information, or there's warrants, or there's tickets out there. They're not going to call you. They will come to your home. Do not fall for these scams, people. Do not. And if you have elderly folks you know, man, just let them know. And sometimes they can be scary. Don't fall for these things. Don't be a victim. These people have no heart. They have no conscience whatsoever. They are just looking to wipe your money out. All right, with that said, 4:30. Do we have Jared Pietenberg today, or is Wheeler around? I think it's
Wheeler.
Is it Wheeler today? All right, John Wheeler's back. And as always, when John joins us for weather, if you have a question weather-related for John, ask the question. 293-9000 or email talkwday.com. John loves getting the questions. All right, Wheeler Net Forecast. That's coming up. All right, over to the Storm Tracker Weather Center, and he's back. The man, the myth, the legend, John Wheeler. Hello.
Hey, Jay.
How you been, John?
I'm doing all right.
Are you under the weather? Are you one of these people that got the flu bug? I mean, man, I was watching the news last night. This thing is going around decimating schools.
I was a little under the weather. Well, I did not have influenza. I'm feeling just fine today. All but right. I was a little under weather yesterday.
All right, well.
Sunday and yesterday. Well, doing better.
You're back at it.
Yeah.
Cape and all. Hey, looks like we're going to have some warm weather coming our way for the weekend.
We are.
Those folks tailgating on Saturday, which, by the way, folks, my buddy Dan Beecher, we're going to hook up with him here in about 5 minutes or so. He owns one of the very well-known tailgating rings. He's got the Magic Bus, and they are doing an unbelievable feast of tailgating. Wait till you hear what they're doing.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
So, but
yeah,
anyway.
Will not be so frigid.
No.
I mean, this Saturday was rough.
Hey, let me tell you, Commissioner Pepcorn was just in here. He's a big tailgater Bison fan.
Yep.
He said there were like four, maybe five people tailgating on Saturday, and that was it. So I don't know. I don't know if he was exaggerating or telling the truth. But he said it was. Yeah, there was like nobody tailgating. It was cold.
Yeah.
Not this Saturday, though.
No, it'll be warming up. Should be above freezing in the afternoon this weekend around the area, and
right.
a little bit of a mild spell. It's not going to melt away all the snow. I do not anticipate anything but snow on the ground on Christmas. In fact, right now we're actually looking at a possibility of a little snow falling on Christmas.
Really?
But we're getting ahead of ourselves now. I don't raise any flags. Nobody needs to cancel their trips or anything yet. It's just a 10-day forecast. Short term, though, it's very cold out there right now, and the next few hours will be tough, but it's actually going to bottom out here between now and midnight.
It's zero right now?
I believe it's one at last check.
Oh, she did drop down. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's been falling all day.
Okay.
And it'll keep falling early this evening, but Jay, it's actually going to start warming up overnight.
Okay.
So it fell all day. It's going to rise tonight. Tomorrow it'll be a little warmer. Temperature rise and fall does not always equate with how nice it is outside, because there will be a bit of a wind chill in the morning. So low wind chills, bundle up in the morning, everybody, all the layers and everything.
But remember, that wind chill doesn't affect your car starting.
No, it does not.
Still disagree.
It does not. I don't know if that was intended as a dig, but it's exactly
correct. I like tossing that out there. So when we get up in the morning, to let's say you're leaving 6, 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, are we above zero then?
Temperature will be around zero,
okay,
give or take, but there'll be like a 10, 15-mile-an-hour breeze. It's not going to be very nice.
Okay.
But that's a south wind, and we warm up into the teens tomorrow. Not a great day, just a little bit warmer, but it's the start of the warming trend. We go from the teens to the 20s, and by the weekend, should have a couple of days up in the 30s.
How low are we getting tonight?
Well, that's a matter of a couple of things. I think we're forecasting 12 below.
Okay.
But that may happen at 8 or 9 o'clock.
Oh,
I mean,
then
it's
going to
drop
rising
like a rock at first.
Yeah.
Then the wind will turn around. Some clouds are going to drift in as well. So how cold it gets has a lot to do with those two things. Somewhere around 8, 10, 12 below in Fargo in the next few hours. And then back up to about 2 below by 6, 7 o'clock in the morning.
And pretty much same thing for you folks in the listening area in the region. So
yep, it just, you know, you live further west, the warm-up happens a little sooner. Yeah. You live in Minnesota when the warm-up happens a little bit slower.
All right.
Quiet weather, though, all week, really not too much to talk about. You know, whether it's partly cloudy or mostly cloudy, really, other than this little wind shift tonight, there's really no weather coming in. I don't see any precipitation. Roads should be fine over the next few days. The temperatures will hit the 30s this weekend. That'll bring up the possibility of, you know, scattered areas of frost on the roads this weekend. But the weather itself does look nice. And the trend right now is for it to get a little colder again next week, but not Arctic. We'll keep the Arctic out of here for a while.
That.
I do have, though, the models are showing me at least a possibility of some snow sometime around the 25th or 26th. That's in the 10-day forecast, but it's way too far out for any kind of precision. So I don't see it right now as a massive storm. Something we'll have to watch for Christmas travel, but that's a week away.
All right. What are the records for today?
They're both oldies. They both date back to the 1800s. So I guess it's been a day that there hasn't been a lot of crazy weather in the last 100 years or so. 47 on this date in 1890. The record low goes way back to 1884 at minus 25. It's currently 1. North wind at 13. Wind chill is minus 17. So the wind dies down. The temperature drops like a rock. The wind picks up. Temperature starts rising. Main thing is it's going to stay cold through tomorrow morning, but it will be warming up tomorrow.
And of course, more tonight, 5, 6, and 10 in high definition from the weather leader, number one in the region, WDAY Storm Tracker. Thanks, John.
Thank you, sir.
WDAY time is 4:41. We come back. Dan Beecher, Mr. Tailgating himself. He's next. Jay Thomas Show. Dan Beecher joined us on the Jay Thomas Show. Dan owns the official Magic Bus of NDSU Bison Tailgating. Dan, what's going on, buddy?
Not much. How'd you know our theme song?
You know what? It was just Kyle took a guess and he nailed it, man.
He nailed it.
So is it true? I had Commissioner Pepcorn on earlier. He said last week there were only four people out tailgating or four rigs out there.
It was pretty scarce. I think 10 below and an 11 o'clock start had a lot to do with it. But
yeah,
no, there was a few diehards out there, but not much at all.
Dan Beecher, folks, he has his tailgating rig. It's been around for years. People know it. They love it. It's called the Magic Bus. We had the opportunity to film a segment for the TV show Rides last year. It didn't air in season one. It's going to air in season two. And we had a blast with Dan. The bus is cool. His son and our son Ty grew up together, are good friends. And Dan is a diehard Bison fan. Dan, what's your, before we get into tailgating this weekend, hey, this has been big talk on Dom Izzo's Hot Mic show. I know McFeely's written about it. This concern with ticket sales down during the playoff games. What do you think the reason is, Dan?
I think a couple things. Apathy. We've been spoiled.
Yep.
We've been, you know, on this run. I mean, we've been so very blessed that this doesn't happen. This doesn't happen anywhere else in the country. I mean, we've been so fortunate to have a 33-game winning streak that got broken, and now we're on we're going for, what is it, 36 this week?
Yeah, I think it is 36
in a row again, and then. I think the biggest thing too in the playoffs, you know, people are so used to us trouncing everybody. You know, we've been just manhandling everybody. Well, I think they got a wake up call last week that we need people. We need butts in the seats cheering and any Saturday it can be done. So
you're right. I mean, I'm watching the game last Saturday, going, this could be the end of it, and Bison were able to. We're able to pull it off, and I'm with you. I honestly, you know, and I'm a Bison fan, Dan, but I'm telling you, I watched the games, and by halftime, I'm done. They become so boring just because of the dominance by the Bison, and I think that plays a factor into it. Now, people have also, when we've brought this topic up, have mentioned ticket prices, that it's just too expensive, but the tickets aren't that expensive. Are they that expensive to go to a Bison game, Dan?
Playoff tickets, we sit in the end zone, they're $30. For the regular season, they're almost $50 a seat. So, I mean, it's actually a sale, so to speak.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I get it. I mean, I go to all the games and stuff, and by halftime, you know, you see, you know, the student section really thins out, and you see the regular seats too. You know, when we're up by 40 points, people got stuff to do, and it's like, well, we can just listen to it on the radio. We're going to win this thing by 50. So I think people are just, I think the apathy is, well, we're so used to winning by such a substantial number that, you know, well, why go?
Yeah.
Well, you know, wow. And then you end up with a 9-3 game last week, and holy cow.
Yeah, a scary one. Yeah, there's, and I think there's other factors in it too. You know, I honestly, Dan, I think when it gets down to this stretch, I honestly believe, you know, even though folks have already bought their tickets, I think a lot of people are going, well, I got to start saving up here. I got Frisco coming up.
Yeah. That and Christmas is next week.
Yeah, yeah, so, exactly.
You know, we're 1 week shorter between Thanksgiving and Christmas this year. And, mm-hmm. you know, frankly, you look at the farm economy. I mean, how many thousands of acres of corn are still sitting out there that, you know, it's not in the bin or at the elevator. So that farmer doesn't have that money, and that trickles down too.
Yeah. No, I think there's a lot of factors that play into it. All right, deal.
Yeah. Yep.
Tailgating this Saturday. So people know, if you haven't been tailgating ever, or it's been years, folks, tailgating is free. And I'm telling you, man, it is a blast. It is amazing how friendly people, even strangers. I mean, people out at tailgating are having a good time. They're, hey, come on over, grab a bite to eat. I mean, it's just, it is a great time out there. And it is very family friendly. I highly suggest if you get an opportunity, even if you're not going to the game, go hit the tailgate lot and just have fun. You don't pay to get in there. And it's a blast, Dan.
It is. It's a lot of fun. You meet new people every week. There's people coming in from out of town from the other teams and that kind of stuff. And yeah, everybody's so welcoming. Come on in, have something to eat, have something to drink, and swap some stories and have some fun.
Hey, all right, so the magic bus. What the hell? You guys going a little overboard on the tailgating this weekend?
Well, every year towards the end of the year, we always do a game feed after kind of we're done bird hunting and deer hunting and every other hunting that we do in the fall. So we always have a game feed, and it just so happens it's going to be this week and something new and different. So we called old Pop Seafood down in Shreveport, Louisiana, and we got ourselves a 5-foot gator.
Are we talking gator head? Everything is there. This thing's
the whole 9 yards.
No, is it,
or the whole 5 feet?
Is it? Good Lord! Is it gutted, ready to start cooking, or do you got to gut the thing too?
No. It comes all packaged in a little white styrofoam cooler, frozen solid, and so we'll start thawing that little guy out actually tonight. And then yeah, it's all gutted and everything. So yeah, you make a big. We're gonna make some big batch of cornbread and Dewey stuffing, and you stuff the cavity with that and sew that guy up, and then we got a rub that we're gonna put on it Friday night, put it on. It'll go on the grill by about 6:30 Saturday morning, wrapped in bacon.
So how many people does a 5-foot gator feed?
We have no idea.
We're gonna find out. Have you had gator meat before?
Oh yeah,
that's good.
I've had gator down in Florida and that's stuff good. Like that. So yeah, said, "What the heck? Let's do something else besides our usual venison." And we got venison and elk and walleye and pheasant chowder.
Jeez. All right, I gotta ask, I gotta know, man, because. You know, 5-foot gator, that's pretty good size gator, but it's pretty, you know, pretty reasonable to handle, to cook up. What's a 5-foot gator from down there in Louisiana? Aye, cost you?
A couple of C-notes is it. That's with shipping.
All right. So that's with shipping. $200, that's it?
Yep.
Man, you guys are getting her done. Now, if the public walks by the magic bus, do they get to stop in, or is this just for folks at the bus, or what?
Oh no! Everybody, stop on by and have a little snack. And like I said, we'll have all kinds of other game going too. And you'll hear the music, and you'll see the bus. The front of the bus says the march is on with the big green and yellow flags flying. And yeah, stop on by and say hello.
Yeah, you can't miss the magic bus. It is an old Greyhound bus. And this thing is decked out. It's got beautiful graphics along the side of it. You got the flags flying. There's a ton of people around. Let's see. What do you guys got? You got the 5-foot full gator going. You got deer, elk, pheasant, walleye. I mean, yeah, it is going to be a feast over at the Magic Bus.
It is. It's going to be fun.
We've
got to be loud and proud on Saturday, so got to get all the tummies full and maybe an adult beverage or a cup of coffee or whatever you want to, and then we go cheer them boys on to Frisco.
There you go. Now you can't miss Dan because Dan, you're gonna have the big bison, furry bison.
You know it. Yep.
This thing is massive. All right, yeah. Swing by there. Say, I heard on the Jay Thomas Show you can come by and grab a bite to eat. Yeah, it's gonna be good. I'll try to get out there on Saturday and come see you guys. All right, brother. And then are you taking a magic bus down to Frisco?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, you see what I did there? I didn't say if we win. I said, are you taking the bus down?
Get the oil changed, and she's ready to go.
What was it the first year you guys built the magic bus? In how long was it? Like a week or something like that? A month?
60 days. We turned it from a Greyhound into the cruising vessel that you see today.
And without testing it, did you not just head down to Frisco and the heaters broke down?
we got done at 3:30 in the morning the day we were heading to Frisco, and we left at 6:30, and it was like 25 below, of course, that day, and we got 10 miles out of town and realized we had no heat.
Oh man, space heaters so, all the way down.
The little Mr. Buddy heaters. They were definitely our buddy.
All right. Well, hey, Dan, thanks for the time. Thanks for offering up some great chow and tailgating, and go Bison.
You know it. Everybody get your
get your Heinies out there and have some fun on Saturday, and let's cheer those guys on.
Yep, going to have some good weather for tailgating Saturday. And
it's gonna be beautiful.
Yeah, it's going to be gorgeous out. And look for the Magic Bus on Season 2 of Rides. Thanks, Dan.
You bet. Thanks, Jay. Have a great day.
You too, brother. All right, we're out of here, folks. Coming up on 5 o'clock, got your news block next. We're back tomorrow at 2.